the pursuit of fairness in presidential politics. It's the Friday Mixer. In politics, coverage is the name of the game. In journalism, objectivity is the game. In commercial media, it's all about the eyes, the ears, the clicks, and the subscriptions. And at that very crowded intersection stands the American presidential election of 2016. In the land of big, raucous crowds, a reality TV star, nasty Twitter fights, and a media thirst for money, are you getting the coverage you deserve, that you demand? Gabriel Kahn is a professor at the USC Annenberg School for Communication and Journalism and former correspondent for The Wall Street Journal. Hi, Gabe.
Hi, how are you, Steve?
I'm well. Thank you. Welcome to you and Hadass Gold. She covers the media for Politico, and she's with us from Washington. Hi, Hadass.
Hi, great to be with you.
You bet. Hadass, I'm going to start with you because this is perhaps something that you've experienced as well. We all have, actually, not only as reporters, but also as consumers, as people who have to, who watch this stuff. We've received a fair amount of listener feedback as well as a radio station, as an entity, concerned that we're not doing a good enough job covering their candidate of choice. Is it possible to do that? Are we going to make everybody happy here?
I think it's impossible to ever cover everybody's candidate the way that they want them to be covered. I think that there is something to be said about, you know, the media kind of tends to get onto a bandwagon. Once you see your competitors covering something, a lot of people kind of join up, or they say, oh, this person is doing well in the polls. An example of this, I think, is a lot of Bernie Sanders supporters say that the media has ignored Bernie Sanders. I wouldn't say that he has been ignored, but I would definitely say that they have a point that the media didn't recognize his staying power early and probably wasn't covering him as intensely as they might have if they knew that he would still be in the race and still be doing what he's doing now.
How did he have staying power if the media wasn't covering him well or didn't understand his staying power?
Well, I mean, he had staying power through his supporters, who were, a lot of them were very active, you know, online and in social media, and through their own, ways of communicating. And for the media, you know, what they care about is kind of the winners and the losers. I think for a long time, they recognized that Bernie Sanders probably, as is still the case to a point, mathematically impossible for him to become the nominee. And so they're not really interested in covering him. But the supporters would say, you know, he's causing an important conversation in politics, and you guys are just completely pretending as though he doesn't exist. He's still in the race. Why aren't you covering him seriously like you do Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump? And I think they have a point to an extent. I think he has been undercovered at times.
Gabe, how much of this is about covering the winners and losers, the people whom the media, the reporters believe who will be in the general election, and not about bias, not about this is a reporter's favorite candidate or someone that they want to cover?
Well, as someone who's covered a lot of candidates in many different races, I really do think that Hadass has the point. I think the tendency of the media, the mainstream media, is to focus on the horse race. However, I think we've got to make a distinction about the kind of cycle that we're looking at now as opposed to previous cycles, which is that even though the mainstream media might not have been giving Bernie Sanders sort of ample coverage in the beginning part of his race, that actually didn't seem to matter too much because we're in a world now where those supporters have plenty of opportunity to communicate amongst themselves and to drive message without the help of mainstream media.
Hadass, this obviously, you mentioned the horse race. Do you think that the media wants, and when I say media, I'm talking about all of us, right? I'm talking about radio, TV, newspapers, social media, whatever it may be. You think they're just looking for the thing that's most interesting, the thing that's going to sell the most, the thing that's going to make people listen?
I think to an extent, I mean, the media is a business, and I think a lot of people forget that the media is still a for-profit business. There are some nonprofits in media, but for the most part, this is a business that needs to make money. I mean, I don't get a salary unless, you know, the website and the paper makes money. And so as a result, you do need to do things that will get attention. Now, I think most journalistic enterprises do have that kind of the moral, ethical bone in them that all journalists have when they are kind of starting out, saying, I want to get the story, I want to get the story right, I want to tell the truth and show people what's actually going on. But, you know, it's a balance always between what's going to get the most attention and what's the story that needs to be told. A lot of people right now, you know, were grappling with that in regards to Donald Trump, which was, they were like, oh, he's just, you know, it's just clickbait to cover him, and you can't just cover everything that comes out of his mouth. You really need to be, you know, fact-checking him and digging deep into his history. And I think we are seeing that, especially in the last couple months when it comes to Donald Trump's coverage.
Do you really think so? Because there's still, I know a lot of folks who are watching the media who are saying, you know, wait a second, Donald Trump is getting away with saying all these things that are outlandish or probably not true, and you guys aren't fact-checking him. Do you think he's getting fact-checked like everybody else?
Well, I think that you can't fact-check him like other people can be fact-checked, and I think that's because he says so many things in one in one statement that are, you know, so quickly, and sometimes they have, like, contradictions within them. I've read his transcripts that are saying, like, oh, he really likes me, and then literally the next line says, well, he doesn't really like me that much, and then, you know, it just keeps going back and forth. But I do think that we're starting to see a change in the tougher interviews. People are really starting to kind of pin him down on things. I mean, there was a CNN Chiron just yesterday where it fact-checked Trump within the Chiron. It said something about...
The Chiron is what's posted on the screen, right? The words that are posted on the screen.
Yeah, it's also called the lower third. It's that part where it's, you know, the headline that if the TV's on mute, you can still kind of read what they're talking about. And so that was, I think, the first time I had seen that with Donald Trump, where a news outlet was fact-checking him, not just to his face, but also to the viewers, because Trump can't see that, you know, that Chiron while he's being interviewed.
Gabe, it took some time, obviously. Is the media starting to get it right, at least starting to get it right?
You know, it's difficult to tell because this is such a completely sui generis kind of candidacy. And I think, you know, Hadass has a point. One of the problems with fact-checking Donald Trump is the sheer quantity of issues that you have to fact-check and the problems that arise in that. The other, I think, is just the nature of the relationship between the candidate and his supporters and the press, which is that traditionally the press feels its job is to hold these people accountable. And yet neither the candidate nor a large percentage of his followers feel any compunction to accountability. And that presents a real challenge for how the media behaves in something like this.
Well, I want to bring to your attention, because here we are several minutes into this interview talking about the mixer, and we haven't even brought up Hillary Clinton. And I'm curious, the fact that we have not even brought up Hillary Clinton is the fact that she's not done anything bombastic. She doesn't have the rowdy crowds or the large crowds, you know, the visual that goes along with Bernie Sanders or Donald Trump with the raucous crowds that he has or the violence that ensues. Is that what is at the heart of the problem? Is that we're looking for the est factor?
Well, there's a huge spectacle to both the Sanders campaign and even to a much greater degree the Trump campaign. And, you know, in this cycle we have one candidate who is running a very traditional campaign, and that's Hillary Clinton. So in terms of the point that we made at the outset here about what's newsworthy or what grabs the attention, it's, you know, Sanders at this point in the campaign and Trump, you know, are far ahead of Clinton in the way that they make news and the way that they relate to their supporters. And now with their relationship with the media, it's just a much more interesting story to talk about than Hillary, which is, you know, in terms of the way that she runs her campaign, that's something we've all seen before.
I mean, say we're doing journalism 101, or I'm in your class right now over at USC, right? And and you're teaching me and you're telling me, look, this is how you cover a campaign. What do you tell me?
Well, in 2016, that's a difficult question to answer. But the historical context here is that for half a century, pretty much, this country had a couple of rules in place that tried to address this. The Fairness Doctrine and Equal Time. Equal Time is still sort of in effect, although there's just a lot of loopholes. And the Fairness Doctrine basically went out of style in 87. But those, the sort of legal framework around that was based on a media environment in which there was scarcity, where you had a 30-minute evening news program. You had a limited amount of space in a daily newspaper or in a radio program. So now part of the problem, and part of, I think, what is fueling people's dissatisfaction or suspicion that their candidate isn't getting covered, is that on the one hand, through the internet, they have access to the entire tape. to the entire speech, to everything else, because all of that stuff is being recorded and stored somewhere. Yet in mainstream media, you have to make some choices because you have a limited amount of time on this show. Hadass has a limited amount of words that she can write. And so you have this kind of asymmetry in what people have access to and what mainstream media is able to cover, which I think fuels this sense of unfairness among, you know, diehard supporters.
Gabe Kahn with the USC Annenberg School, Hadass Gold with Politico. Thanks to you both for your time this evening. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.